there. I'm your host, Alexis Newland, and you're listening to The Brave Podcast. I am so happy you're tuning in today. Each week, a friend and I get together and talk about what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation. Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of The Brave Podcast. I believe this is episode 18, which amazes me that I've been doing this for 18 weeks, which means it's almost been half a year of doing The Brave Podcast, which is just wow. I absolutely love that I went on this journey. It's been so great learning people's stories and being able to share them with you guys. So I just am appreciative to all my guests and also super appreciative to you, my listeners, who tune in every week, give me feedback, and tell me how much you love it. So thank you so much. All right, so my friend Tammy Jo is back for a second interview. This is interview 2 of 3, and so she talks about Wales. So we're going to take a trip to Wales today. Tammy Jo went to Wales to go to BCW to kind of deepen her faith. I'm probably like dumbing down exactly what she did, but she went to Wales to kind of definitely deepen her faith and to be, better at what she does with her Bible teaching. She'll explain better in the next part of the interview, but I think you're going to love it. She talks about how she faced a big fear going to Wales. Like, I have traveled abroad myself, and it is scary going to another country, not knowing the language, not knowing the people, knowing no one, but it can be the most exciting adventure. So it's really cool that she shares that with us. She talks about how God speaks our language, which I absolutely love. And she shares a little story in there that is one of my favorites of all time. And so you'll absolutely love that story, I believe. And then one of my favorite quotes from this is, if you're wondering, God is real. It's real. It's super basic and simple, but I absolutely love that quote. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. And without further ado, here is my interview with my friend, Tammy Jo.
Right. And so you did something that was kind of, you were afraid to do, but it ended up being awesome. You went to Wales.
I did. I went to Wales, and I didn't know what to expect at all. I just saw a video on YouTube. You know, I had read this book about Rees Howells, and I wanted to see if I could find, like, an audio of the book. And so I ended up looking on YouTube because I couldn't find anything anywhere else. And I saw where they had reopened the college that he had opened, and my heart just leapt at it. And I thought, this is crazy, like really crazy, you know, leave my family for 3 months and go to Wales. But the Lord just wouldn't
let it go.
No, he wouldn't let it go. And then he just made a way for me to go. And I had no idea what to expect, you know, going. I didn't know if they would be, like, crazy people.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I didn't know where they stood doctrinally or anything like that. And that was part of what helped me to realize how much fear I still had in me. Because going, I was just, like, I kind of joked that my pirate name would be, like, Side-Eye Suspicious. Because, like, that's just, like, totally how I was. Like, I was like, I'm going to sit in the back, and I'm side-eyeing everything. Because I'm not quite sure if you're crazy or not, you know?
Yeah.
And it was amazing, though, and very humbling to be with this group of people who, A, didn't judge me for my Side-Eye Suspicious. And then, you know, they don't look at each other's failings, you know, they're not looking at that. So it's like, you might have a broken place in you, but that doesn't disqualify you.
And that
was really, really cool. And it was a hard thing for me to grasp because I went through, you know, a really rough period while I was there. And I was, you know, I was leading worship while I was there. And I was due to lead worship, you know, in 2 days later. And I asked, you know, one of the leaders, I was like, you know, do you still want me leading worship? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, okay, you know, I didn't expect, you know, you had this broken spot. We're going to pull you out because
you're not.
Yeah.
Whole.
Yeah. And it's like, but you know, and when I led worship, it was really, it was cool because what I learned while I was there is that like worship is actually a lot huger for me. Is huger a word?
It is now.
Okay.
We're making words up here today.
Yes. All right. Because when we're on air in hallway studio,
you can do whatever you want.
Can do whatever we want. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So I understand now that even when I'm in a broken place, that's is super important for me to worship because mm-hmm. that's really what I was created for. And it's like, that's kind of like the place of like the most power for me is in worship. So I'm glad that they had the foresight, I guess, to know that, you know, and they didn't pull me out of that. So, and then it was neat because, you know, I broke my ankle while I was there and, you know, everyone was so helpful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think culturally it might have a thing too, you know, because, you know, in the States, you know, we kind of historically have this pull yourself up by the bootstraps mentality.
Yes.
And, yeah. you know, that's something I realized in Wales is, oh my gosh, I really am an American. Like, I'm an American, you know, I have felt like an orphan. Well, I mean, I have been an orphan and, you know, not having like family and, you know, this home and like this, you know, sort of history, you know, mm-hmm. I don't have any of that. So I always wonder like, where am I going to be buried? You know, like, yeah. where would I be buried? You know, people usually want to be buried where their family is or yeah. where they grew up or whatever. And I'm like, huh, I don't really feel like I have a home. I feel homeless, you okay. know? And it was cool because when I went, I was like, well, the States, that is home.
Yeah.
I don't care where in the States, but I'd want to be buried in the States.
Yes.
I want a green burial, by the way.
Oh, anyway, I've seen that.
I totally want
it. I want that too. Yeah, I want like, that or, okay, this is so funny. What? Sorry, it's going off topic.
No,
Viking great. Funeral. Have you seen those?
Ooh,
where what? They shoot flaming arrows at like a watercraft and then they sink you into the ocean.
They're doing that?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah,
that
I want that.
Cool.
Like, okay. I want that. If that's my mom cool. would have all allowed right. it, I would have done that with her when she passed, but I see her being like giving me side eye like, yeah. you're crazy. Oh, you're not going to shoot any flaming arrows at me.
Watch me.
Yeah. You're going to set yourself on fire. No. But that's what I want for myself. I'm like, when I pass, I'm like, if I don't get cremated, I'd be so cool to like put me on a boat yeah. and start shooting flaming arrows and sink the boat in the ocean. That would
that's
be
nice.
Amazing. I would be smiling down on whoever from heaven if you do that for me. So when I die, people...
Okay, yeah.
Shoot arrows at me in my boat. That's what I want. That's but I, yeah, but green, I yeah. watched that. I'm like, it looks so cool. They're beautiful.
Yeah, I definitely, I want a green burial.
Yeah.
But I would want to be buried on American soil. That yeah. would be very important
same.
To me. But I didn't realize, you know. So when I got there, I was like, oh, I have this identity now. I'm like, I'm an American.
Yeah.
You know, but the... You know, so I broke my ankle and I have a super high pain tolerance. Something I didn't realize was that I have a, like, I've been trained to feel ashamed if I'm hurt in any way.
Huh.
You know, so like, and I do like have memories that come now that I think of it, you know,
yeah.
where I remember I got a really deep cut in my leg and I didn't tell anybody. I doctored myself up. I was like 9 and I needed stitches, but I was afraid to ask for any help. I felt very ashamed and just to need help. Mm-hmm. So you see what I'm saying?
How,
like how I was so primed for that religion to come mm-hmm. in.
Yeah.
I was already speaking the language. I just didn't know it, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that was something that I experienced there is everybody was, you know, they didn't buy what I was selling, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, you're not okay.
Yeah, I'm going to help you. Yeah.
And you need to let me help you. And it didn't matter that I was like, I can do it. They're like, no, you can't. And you can ask for help.
And sometimes that is so hard because I went through that when I went through my oncology treatment uh-huh. and I had to stay with the Gaithers, which was amazing. But like, it humbled me. I was mm-hmm. like, God's like, you're a little too independent. And so yeah. I'm going to knock that down a couple of pegs.
Yeah.
And it was like hard. Not because, like, of the people. I love the gaithers. You guys are awesome. But, like, because I'm just so used to, like you said, right, Americans are kind of trained to be, like, you pull yourself up from your bootstraps. My mom was that way. She raises that way. So, like, to ask for help was kind of, like, a sign of weakness. And to be weak was not okay in my family. And so, like, when that happened with me and getting sick and I couldn't, like, I had chest tubes. And chest tubes are the worst, you guys. Never get it. It sucks. And so, like, I had surgery. I could not be home by myself. Like, I couldn't take care of myself. And I stayed with them. It was just to ask for help, it felt like weakness, but it was so beautiful to have someone love on you and to take care of you and not be ashamed to take that help and have that care. It was a, it's my favorite moment, like, ever.
Okay, but you see, so that's the difference between, like, that's the grace and the mercy.
Yeah.
You chose the mercy by willing, you know, being willing to ask for help. So you asked for help and then you were taken into the grace camp.
Yeah.
Where you experienced the love and the healing, you know? Yeah. And so that's such a beautiful analogy for what Jesus does, you know, what he's done for us, you know? And but we have to ask for help.
We do. And it's so hard sometimes because we're kind of just trained to do it yourself. Yeah. Like the DIY, like everything. Right, everybody's like, do it yourself. Like do very much on like not asking for help. And I feel like in our time.
Right. But asking for help from Jesus is important because he honors choice.
Yeah.
He protected choice in the garden.
Yeah.
And he bought it back, you know, for us.
Yeah.
So that we, you know, we could be free. You know, he set us free from our slavery to sin. He protects our choice.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't protect our choice so we would choose bad, but so we could be free to choose good, you know? And so he honors that. He's not going to just come and throw mercy on you, you have to ask for it. You have to want it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to take it.
Yeah.
And instead of thinking, well, I am going to set up a very complicated 12-step program to never be gluttonous again.
Yeah.
That's not going to help.
Mm-hmm.
No knocking to any of the 12-step programs out there. Jesus is your higher power. He can totally get you anywhere in one step.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so... Yeah, totally. So, yeah, went to Wales, and I learned that, and the Lord revealed just so much. I always related to the elder brother in the prodigal, you know, the story of the two sons. You know? Always related to the prodigal son's older brother.
Yeah, because that story is, if you guys don't know, the younger son runs off. He gets money. He gets his inheritance from his family. Yeah. He runs off. He goes and spends it all, becomes poor, is like feeding pigs, can't even feed himself, and decides to come home. And the father embraces him and is like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. And the older brother's really kind of ticked off because he's like been here the whole time. And he's like, where's my party? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I always related to the elder brother because I didn't relate to the prodigal son, mostly because I had so much self-control. You see what I'm saying? So I didn't... you know, I relate to the Pharisees. I relate to those things. And that was something that happened at BCW that really, the Bible College of Wales, that's BCW. When I went there, one of the first kind of things that, you know, began to blow the lid off the religion was, you know, my religious ways and ideas that I still had in me that I didn't know was still there. There was a guy that was teaching on that little bit of time in Luke 2:52, you know, how Jesus, he leaves his parents, you know, that whole bit.
He's in the temple.
Right.
And they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he goes with them. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then after that, it says that then he goes back with them and he lives, you know, subject to them.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew in wisdom and favor with God and man. Wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. So he kind of takes like what happened during those missing years, you know? And it was a really good class, but he was... You know, when he was talking about, like, the Pharisees, he had a really good understanding of, like, the Hebrew traditions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I just asked him about how Jesus was just so mean to the Pharisees, you know, because to me, when I read, it's like the Pharisees were the one group of people that Jesus is not kind to.
Yeah, he really is. And he says some stuff, and you're like, ooh.
And I mean, I always related to the Pharisees. So, like, again, I'm seeing Jesus from this perspective of that he hates me. You know, he is mean to me. He talks impatiently to me.
Yeah.
You know, Tammy Jo, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Why aren't you getting this? You know, mm-hmm. What are you, dumb? You know, hello.
Yeah.
That's sort of the language that I would hear him speak to me in. Anyway, so I asked this guy, I was like, you know, so why was that? And he looked almost, it almost looked like I hurt his heart greatly with the question. And he said, no, Jesus was not mean to the Pharisees. He loved the Pharisees. He said he was talking to them in the language they could understand. And then he went on to explain how the way the Pharisees would talk to one another, it was all through argumentative debate.
Oh. Huh.
So he was speaking their language because he loved them and he was trying to reach them.
He was trying to reach them.
Yes.
That really...
I know.
I never realized that.
I was like...
Because I always thought that he was like, you guys should know better. Like,
right, yeah.
You've studied this.
Wagging his finger at them. You know, sighing.
You know, like, face palming.
Right,
like,
yeah. All the time. Things.
Yes, yeah.
And that's how I always saw him toward me.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy Jo, why don't you get this? Tammy Jo, how many times? Tammy Jo, you know. But... when he said that, it really just kind of turned my whole world upside down.
Wow.
That idea, like, wait a minute. And along with that, though, I can see that theme in my life,
mm-hmm.
how he did speak to me in the way that I could understand.
Yeah.
He will speak your first language to you.
He will, yeah.
And so if it's the only way he can get through to you, then... he might sound a little militant, but it's not because that's who he is. It's because he's trying to speak your language.
Yeah, he's trying to reach you.
Yes, yeah. He's trying to reach you. And I feel like, you know, there's definitely, you know, some years in my life where it was that way, but not because it's who he is, but it was the only way he can reach me.
I love that.
Yeah, so that was a beginning turning point for me. And then, you know, we did some studies on Romans, and... that was where I learned about human effort. And
yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. And when that came up, that was when I realized that I really was the prodigal son.
Oh.
You know, that I was living according to my human effort. I wasted, you know, his favor and his mercy and my opportunities for mercy. I squandered that with my own human effort. And so it was really cool to see that I was prodigal and that I had denied him his child, you know, by trying to be good and perfect and do the right things. I had denied him my heart, you know, that I kept protected, you know, by doing right things so I could stay safe, you know. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So by the time, and like as I was going through that at the Bible college there, he began to really remove a lot of false identity that I had that I didn't know I had. And what I realized that I had learned to become a Pharisee. I had learned to become the elder brother, but that's not really who I was. I had learned to become Esau. But that's not who I really was. I had learned to become Martha, but that's not who I really was.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking those people, like, because I believe there are people that very much relate to their stories, and it really is, you know, who they are apart from the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
But my character apart from Christ is not Martha. My character apart from Christ is not Esau.
Yeah.
My character apart from Christ is not Cain. It's not any of the older brothers. It's Joseph.
Oh, you know? I love Joseph.
It's Jacob.
I love them.
It's Mary.
Yeah.
You know, because that's like my true character. But mm-hmm. I learned how to throw off that character because in my life, you know, I learned, you know, like in my childhood years that, you know, it was better to be the older sibling. It was better, you know, these things were better. So I took on an identity that was not mine. Mm-hmm. And so at BCW, the Lord just began to reveal those things and throw those things off. So here I thought, you know, I was some, you know, intellectual, but I wasn't, you know, I was a creative.
Yeah.
I thought I was a straight A student, you know, and when I was in high school, I did get straight A's, but that wasn't, I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
And it, and then, you know, at BCW, I found out I'm more of a B+ student.
Yeah.
But, and it's so funny to say that because people never really know how to react to that. No, that's actually a good thing. Like, that's who I am. I'm getting a B+, that's my A work. You know, that's me giving everything that I am by nature mm-hmm. and everything. So I was, like, the whole time while I was at BCW, I was trying to get A's, and I was like, why am I not getting, like, what is happening? How can I do this better? And I asked the Lord, like, you know, should I talk to the dean and find out what I'm doing wrong so that I could do better? And the Lord was like, no, don't. And I was like, okay, you know. So I thought that meant, you know, he would get me some A's, but he didn't, you know. But I remember I had this science teacher back in high school.
Yeah.
And, I got straight A's and stuff. And I would go, like, so did I get an A? Did I get an A? You know, did I get an A? I'd be waiting while they're grading my final. Did I get an A? And I'll always remember him, you know, he finished grading my final, me hovering. And I'm like, so what did I get? Did I get an A? And he goes, is that all you care about? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I want the A.
I want an A.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't care if you learned anything. You don't care if you remember anything. You don't care about any of that. You just want an A.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I want an A.
Hope the A, yeah.
And he was like, yes, you got an A. And I was like, yes, you know, and off I went. But here, I didn't get an A.
Yeah.
And I did get some A's, but, you know, I was a B+ student, but I sure did learn a lot.
Aww.
And so it's definitely better. And then I know that I am a speaker. Like, I know those things, but I never considered myself, like a creative or like a worshiper. Like, I mean, I know I'm a worshiper in the sense of my most at home place is on my face, you know, in prayer and worshiping God that way. But as far as like singing, like I don't know. I didn't realize that I had other functions when it came to singing.
Aww.
But while I was there, it was like he just uncovered this whole identity I didn't even know I had, you know, and that was a trip. And that now for me is like sort of my new frontier of fear to face because...
Being a worshiper?
Yeah, like that, yeah.
Oh.
Because like, you know, when I went there, I didn't bring any music. I had no idea that I would be leading worship in any way at all. Like, I didn't even think I'd be doing any like background vocals or like, I seriously thought
you're just there to learn.
Yeah. None of it.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, oh no, we need you to do this. And I did, when I got there, I counted anything they asked me to do as from God. God was telling me to do that. So, so it didn't even dawn on me to say no. I was like, okay, knowing I'm completely, I felt so ill-equipped, but it came out so natural. It was so weird. And I'm not saying, like, you know, that I'm, you know, Celine Dion or anything, you know, singing-wise. But it just came so natural to me.
Like you've always been doing it. Like, this is what you're made to do.
No, more what I was made to do, not that I've always been doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, I'm like, while I'm leading worship and doing these things that I never thought, like, singing prayers and things like that. While I'm doing those things, it's like, you know, you're sort of on the sidelines going, what in the world do I think I'm doing right now? Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, what, you know, what is going on here?
I thought we were doing this. I'm like, what am I doing?
There you go.
You feel like I'm supposed to be doing this.
Yeah. And it's just
and you're like,
happening.
You're like, I'm supposed to do this. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, while that was happening, you know, I've learned to not quench the spirit when it comes to, you know, things like that. I just go.
Yeah.
I just go and don't worry about whatever. And, you know, afterwards people were asking me, like, they thought I led worship. Like, they were like, oh, you know, so you're a worship leader at church? I'm like, no. No. I'm not. And I was like, kind of, like, as I say that, I'm all just sort of going, I don't even know what happened here.
Yeah.
Not quite sure.
Yeah.
And I just want to go hide. Can we not talk about this?
Yeah. You know,
it's kind of how I felt the first time. And then each time that I did it again, I didn't think so much about all of that.
Yeah.
But the first time I was really like, just really puzzled, like what just happened?
Here? Yeah.
And then too, it really kind of wrecked my world, because it's like, you know, I had my idea, like, you know, it's kind of like you think, oh, I'm going to graduate high school, then I'm going to go to college, I'm going to get a degree, I'm going to get married, have 2.5 kids, yeah, buy a house, and, you know, have a boat and a car. You know, you kind of plan everything
plans
out normal,
yeah,
right? You know, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, none of that. You're not doing any of that.
No, yeah.
Yeah, this is actually...
This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see it this way at all. So, so that's where I face my greatest, like, you know, fear. But what I find, it's very interesting when I feel afraid or when I feel the enemy, you know, because, you know, you have discernment or whatever. I don't know what we talk about here, but,
but no, you know, as far as
like, you know, yeah, like, you know, like the giftings of the Holy Spirit, the discerning of spirits, things like that, you know, they've seemed to kind of heightened, and I kind of get a little freaked out. I'm like, what do I don't know what to do. And it was funny because at one point I texted our pastor, and I was like, so I'm seeing this and I don't know what to do. And it was great, because she was just like, just worship. And I was like, that's right. Yes, that is what I need to do. And it's so cool, because if I just lose myself in worship and just don't think about anything, mm-hmm, I just worship, focus on Him.
Yeah.
Something does shift. It's something happens. And, you know, like even today I was playing at home and, you know, was worshiping. And, you know, my husband was like, I love it when you worship, because I just feel so much peace, and I just feel, aww, it just feels so, you know, and he's trying to describe it. And it was really cool and very affirming, because I was like, I knew what he was saying is he feels the Holy Spirit, you know,
yeah,
come. And so I have to just have courage to do that and lose, you know, continue to lose the false identity that says that I don't have a right to that.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how I've felt. And I, you know, I do background vocals, and I love doing background vocals. I love supporting people. Like, it really does bring me joy, mm-hmm, to support other people to do what it is that they're made to do. But I think that I've put myself in like a little square or something. What do they call it? Pigeonholed myself.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not anything that anybody has done to me. It's something I've done to myself.
Yeah.
So that's the fear I have to face. So,
okay.
So that's what I'm doing. I go home and I work on playing and singing and I work on the technicalities of it. But then, I just sit in worship, and I do feel the Lord come. That's when I feel Him a lot, you know, and it comes pretty quick, which has been really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. What other goals do you have for this year? Like, what are some of your dreams? Because she's my dream friend.
Yeah.
We talk about our dreams together. So it's like, she's my dream friend. Like, I share my big dreams with her and she does with me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Right. It's so funny because I, one of the things I learned while I was at BCW is, like, you shouldn't have New Year's resolutions. You shouldn't think, like, what do I want to accomplish this year? You should think, who do I want to be? You know, kind of thing, which I really like.
Yeah, and I like
then,
that too.
And then, you know, your steps kind of come out of that, you know. Mm-hmm. But and I was thinking, I'm like, what do I want to be? Like, I want to be cool. I want to be like, I want to be cool. Can I be cool?
that's a good dream. I think you're already cool, though.
I would say that my greatest dream this year is just to, like, continue to face the fear that holds me back from being everything that he created me to be. And I know that's kind of ambiguous, but, you know, I'm meant to draw. I'm meant to write poetry. I'm meant to sing. I'm meant to dance. Like, I'm meant to express creatively.
Yeah.
And I've really denied that for so long. So that would be one of my dreams, is just to not let that flame go out, you know? And it's easy when you're not around people that are used to pushing you in that way, right? Because, you know, most people aren't used to pushing me in that way. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to be less accountable, right? But now I'm going to be accountable.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I want to tap your microphone. Is this thing on?
Yes.
Is this thing on?
It's on. I'm like, I tap it, but I think people will be like, ah!
Yeah, they'll be like, don't do this. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, bad mic technique.
Yeah.
I would like to be able to just sing within freedom. You know, like, I notice there's some atmospheres that I can sing in freedom, but then there's others that I get very self-conscious. Mm-hmm. So just to not have that at all.
Yeah.
I do feel like the Lord wants me to go back to Wales. That was one thing that,
so exciting.
While I was there, it was really interesting. You know, he told me that, you know, I was supposed to go and come back. And so I don't know what that translates into.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel very drawn to go back, and I'm working on learning Welsh, which is extremely different.
Yeah.
It's a stretching
game. Do you
have a word?
You don't have any words? Can you say any yet?
I can say, well, let's see, what time is it?
No, you're good.
I'm wondering what time is it? Cause what I say, I would say Prinhounda, which means good afternoon. Cause it's still afternoon, right?
No. Yeah. Well,
is it evening?
It's evening.
Is it night?
It's 6:30. No worries.
6:30. I could say Nosda, which is like good night.
Oh, that's pretty. You
know? Nosda. Nosda. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I can say, like, Dwi Tammy Joe. Yeah, so that means I'm Tammy Joe.
Dwi Tammy Joe?
Yeah. No, I'd say Tammy Joe Dwi, sorry.
Tammy Joe Dwi.
Yeah, Tammy Joe Dwi. Yeah, I am. It goes the other way. Yeah, and I could say, like, Sut Dihi. So that means, like, how are you?
Huh.
Yes.
I love it. That's good. I don't know any Welsh at all.
I'm sure my pronunciation isn't the best. I probably sound like an American speaking Welsh, but I am. So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. I know.
It's who you are. It's your identity. You're American.
I don't imagine that by learning Welsh, it means that all of a sudden I'm going to magically turn into a Welsh person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not. I'm not completely delusional.
Yeah.
So that would be a dream. And then I do feel called to go all over the world, which is hilarious to me because I've never been that way, really. I mean, I've seen myself go places and, like, go pray and things like that. But I do feel very called to go out to the nations. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't feel like I'm like a typical missionary kind of like person.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that looks like. I don't know. Maybe my husband will get like a travel nursing job and we'll just travel the world that way. And that's,
awesome.
I don't, like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I do feel like I'm meant to go places.
Yeah.
Use that passport.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I don't mean like, oh, I want to go travel and see the world. It's so different. Like, I don't feel like that at all. Mm-hmm. I feel like I enjoy the transition of travel, you know, and Yeah, it's more the people and, yeah. So, and while I was in Wales, I didn't, like, run around and try to see everything.
Yeah.
You know, I was just doing this stuff. So, let's see. And I would like to get my health back. Well, not my health, but, like, being there, I had to eat, I had to change my eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really conducive to my body, so I need to, I would like to, you know.
Get back to being.
Can we call that a dream, though? I don't know. That seems a little boring to be a dream.
No, like to be healthy? Like, no, health is a good dream.
Here we go. Dream. I want to be able to dance again, like, because my body is so, you know, because I spent all those years in bed and stuff, so, like, my muscles, I get hurt so easy.
Yeah.
So I would love to be able to dance freely without pain.
That's a good dream.
That's a good dream.
It's a really good dream.
I like that dream. That's a fun dream.
I like that.
And I want to be able to express my heart in art, and I'd like to write more poetry. Yeah.
I did not know you were a poet.
I didn't either.
Yeah. You were a poet and didn't even know it.
Right? Yeah. So apparently that is my best way to write. You know.
Is through poetry?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I look at poets, I know a few, and I'm like, man, that is such a talent, because that's not my gifting, but, like, it's when people do it, it's like, it's beautiful, and like, it's a song. I love music. It's a song. It's a song to me. Like, it's just.
Yeah, I just, beautiful. I feel, and then it's like, I feel, and I have to get out what I feel, and then words will just kind of come, and but there's not, I don't know, it feels formless, so I always judged it and mm-hmm. didn't understand that it was more like poetry. So but then the Lord really started prompting me to just write it as it's coming out. So now I have like a note in my phone, and I'll kind of date before and after it,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just sort of vomit out everything, you know.
Oh, I love that.
And yeah, so I'll do that. And that happens to me too, like in dancing, you know, it's weird. It's like, I feel it. It's not sort of a rational expression that happens.
Yeah.
And I feel the Holy Spirit, and I just have to move, and I do. And if I do, then, and I can always tell that it's the Lord, because, like, afterwards, I just, like, I end up in such a place of, like, spontaneous worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. But
wow.
So a dream would be to really explore those things more. I've judged myself so harshly for having those ideas mm-hmm. or desires, like, because they seem dumb. Like,
yeah.
they seem dumb in my head. Like, oh, you know, she's, you know, in her 40s and she wants to color, you know. You know,
yeah.
That's not very world changing. Like, I had this judgment, but when I was in Wales, I went through this one experience where the Lord showed me how he does use the arts. The arts are very, they're very important to the gospel.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, like, I really did think that it was just, you know, dumb. Like, what are you gonna really do? What's your real job? What's your, you know what I mean? And I do still feel called to preach in some way, but it's not like I used to think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think we're all called to preach,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I did feel so strongly to preach, you know, like in a pulpit, like that typical kind of way. That's how I thought
it should be.
Yeah. And I think it's how I thought it had to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I do think, I do feel more comfortable speaking to a group of people than like one-on-one.
Really?
Yeah. It's very funny. I prefer to be in a group of people like
I'm
that.
More of a one-on-one.
Yeah.
Like groups, I'm like, oh no. I'm like, this is me right here. I'm like, oh, I'm totally comfortable. Yeah. When you start adding people, I'm like, this is, maybe it's the introvert in me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I feel called to speak. I feel called to do those things. But now what it looks like it doesn't look the way, and I don't know how the Lord will do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll wait until he opens up those opportunities. But I no longer see it as it has to be like that. You know what I mean? I think it can be any way that God wants it to be.
Exactly.
I really want to declare just to everyone that, you know, God, He is real. And if they're wondering, you know, because I was wearing my one shirt that says love is greater than fear.
I love that shirt.
It's my favorite shirt. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I already told you about my idea that I want to do for Grace Tribe shirts. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like love is greater than fear. It's like there's like four greater thans
that I
want to figure out. And I want it to be the Grace Tribe shirt, you know.
Oh, cool.
Like grace is greater than the law. Like
fear.
Yeah, and I can't remember them, but there's four of them. And then, of course, He is greater than I. But we'll have to be like, He is greater than me or something like that, because I don't want to steal He is greater than I, because, you know, there's that one company that does that, and they do it beautifully.
Oh, the Hawaiian company.
Yeah, and I don't want them to feel like I'm trying to infringe. But anyway, so I was wearing that shirt, and this guy at Starbucks, he says, what does that say? Does that say love is greater than fear? Love is bigger than fear? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, what if you're afraid of love? And I go, yeah. I said, well, here's the thing. God, he's real. And He does love you. And so all you got to do is you just got to tell Him, you know, because I think sometimes we think like only Christians can talk to God. Like,
yeah.
You know,
and it's not true. Anyone. Yeah. He listens to all of us. He's just waiting for people to like but talk to Him.
I mean, how are you going to repent if you can't talk to God? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be able to talk to God. So, I was like, yeah, I'm like, so you I told him, I dare you. Like, just ask God to show Himself to you. Jesus, He does love you. And I dare you to just ask Him. Like, tell Him, I'm afraid of love. Can you fix that, you know?
What did He say?
He was like, okay, you know. I walked away. Because that's what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
I'm not a used car salesman, so I'm not going to try to. And Jesus is way better than, you know, anything. He's not. Yeah, so I'm not going to peddle Him like He's some used car I'm trying to get something to buy. But that's what I want to do. And I don't care how that's expressed.
Yeah.
And I feel like what I'm learning is the Holy Spirit is, you know, He's the one that really speaks to a heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
Hearing by the word. Hearing by the rhema of God. I am, you know, I might speak a word to somebody that is rhema, but it's through the Holy Spirit. So I need to trust the Holy Spirit. So I don't know. Give me a mic and I'm going to declare the love of Jesus. I'm going to declare that He's worthy. And that's like the one thing. Give me a minute of your time. And that's what I want to declare to you is that, you know, Jesus loves you and He's worthy, you know, and He's trustworthy and He's faithful in every way. And there's no one like Him, and He's totally going to show up for you. You know, that's it. I just want to, whatever medium I've got to use, whatever medium that God wants to use, I'm no longer telling Him, no, you can't do it that way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I love that. That's good dreams.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. So here's my three asks. One, share this episode with a friend. Right now, we've all got a lot of downtime, and listening to a podcast is a great way to pass that time and to kind of take your mind off of things that are happening right now. Also, it's a great way to get encouragement and to hear other people's stories, and I feel like we all learn a lot from the stories of another. So that's my first ask. My second one is to give ratings. Ratings help me know what you guys love about the podcast and how I can improve. And the third one is to download. Downloads help you so you can listen to the podcast on the go, and it kind of lets the people in the podcast world know that you like the show, and it makes it more available for people to find. So those are my three asks. I hope you guys have a wonderful week, and Tammy Jo will be back with us again next week. So have a wonderful rest of the week. Love you guys. Bye.